So I've got something exciting to share. My book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is now available for pre-order. It's about rethinking your drinking, not because you necessarily have to, but because deep down you know there's more waiting on the other side. It's about creating space for clarity, for calm, and the version of you that doesn't need alcohol to cope. So if you're looking for a refreshing take on alcohol identity and desire, just tap the link in the show notes and pre-order. Right, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink podcast with me, your host, Anna Donaghy. If you've noticed that the drinking culture in the UK is changing and you're curious about why and what this means to your world, then this is the podcast for you. Throughout this series, I will be chatting with the thought-provoking, forward-thinking people at the heart of this shift to find out what makes them tick and to explore the sober curious perspective from all angles. And I'll also be giving you oodles of personal tools and tactics to help you get on board the Big Drink Rethink. So hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Drink Rethink. It is a toolkit episode. And today, as I sit here trying to keep the sun off my screen so I can see what I'm doing, I want to talk about exactly that, the sunshine, something so beautiful and yet something that can be so problematic if we're drinkers trying to drink less or if we've stopped drinking and are trying not to go back to it. So, yeah, sunshine, possibly one of the biggest triggers we have. Now, we covet it in the UK. We treat it with an attitude of scarcity and we go a bit bonkers when it arrives. You know, it lifts our mood and it coaxes us outdoors. And for many of us, it goes, oh, this would be the perfect moment for a drink. Because let's be honest, it's a bit of an event. After months of what can sometimes feel like months of grey skies and drizzle, the first sun feels like a national holiday and suddenly it's all pub gardens and picnic blankets and rosé and barbecues and Aperol. So yes, when the sun comes out, so does the booze, basically. It's like sunshine can flip a switch. And if you've ever found yourself halfway through the morning thinking about a drink, you know, maybe that's not your usual. Maybe that doesn't normally happen, but you're halfway through a morning, you're looking outside and you can think, this weather calls for a nice cold glass of something this afternoon. And it's really, really common. So don't beat yourself up for that thought. That's what I wanted to say right up front, really. It's so common. It's normal. It's human. And it's cultural. But it does mean that there's something there to explore. Because for those of us wanting to drink less, it can feel like an unescapable force, akin to gravity. Because sunshine doesn't just light up the sky, it also illuminates neural pathways in our brain. It illuminates the old stories we carry. It stirs up memories and associations and traditions, and it pulls on all the threads of what we used to do if we're trying to drink less or we've given it up. How we used to unwind, how we used to connect, how we used to escape. And unless we pause and get really curious, we can find ourselves really easily sliding into old habits on autopilot. And honestly, I've lost count of the number of times I've been coaching people and they've been putting in streak after streak after streak, day after day after day after day, and they come and they go, screwed up. And I go, whoop, wait, hang on, you didn't screw up. You had a data point. What was the data point? The sun. I was fine, and then Saturday was sunny. Might be, you know, what they say. And it's so common. So yeah, an easy slide into old habits on autopilot. And today we're going to gently unpack that. And then what we're going to do is kind of try and rebuild a few new narratives and scripts. Because this old, you know, sunshine thawing, this season doesn't have to be a repeat of old patterns. It really doesn't. So the first thing to do is to understand why. Why does sunshine trigger the urge to drink? why is this weather such a thing? So I think maybe four things I'm going to mention here. The first is it is simply all around conditioned associations. Sunshine basically becomes a cue card. It's more than just the weather. It's a script. It's an entire script. Okay, and it's one that your brain has been handed again and again and again and again over the years. So if you think about it again, especially in the UK, where sunshine is rare enough to feel somewhat sacred, we celebrate it with a drink. You know, we pop open Prosecco and sit outside. We toast the longer evenings. We flood to the beer gardens. We spill out of pubs onto the pavements. We get the Barbie out and fill buckets up with ice and think of rosé. And it's, you know, it's just like clockwork. It literally is like clockwork. The sun comes out and so does the booze. It's kind of Pavlovian, right? So, you know, you know what I mean by that. It's that type of learning where the brain links two things together, even if they aren't naturally connected, actually. And it comes from that famous experiment by Ivan Pavlov, you know, where he trained dogs to salivate when they heard a bell. And every time he rang the bell, he gave them food. And eventually, the dog started drooling just from hearing the bell, even when there was no food forthcoming. Okay, it was just that association of the bell and food equals salivating dogs, right? So in an alcohol context, a Pavlovian response means that you've kind of learned to respond to one thing, like a sound or a place or a feeling like the sun, because it happens or always happens alongside something else, like food or pleasure or alcohol. So sun, alcohol, sun, alcohol, sun, alcohol. After a fashion, it becomes an automated response, okay? Now, we have spent years, often decades, pairing sunshine with alcohol. And it's a little bit like hearing the opening bars of a song you've danced too many times before. And the moment that those notes hit, your body remembers and you're back there, you know, in a holiday of many, many years ago, just when those first few notes kind of play out. And sunshine works the same way. It's sensory and it's instant. And before you've even thought about it, you know, your brain is already off thinking about the glass of rosé or wine o'clock or sun loungers and, I don't know, this moment calls for something chilled and sparkly, whatever it might be. Now, these aren't failures of willpower. They're echoes. They are echoes. And I literally cannot think of a better way to describe them. If you've given up alcohol, you no longer want to respond to the sun in this way, but you always have done in the past, so, you know, you're kind of going forward, wanting to do things a little bit differently. These Pavlovian responses come up like echoes of the way you used to be, echoes of the past. Old neural pathways lighting up like, you know, fairy lights strung across a familiar scene. But the good thing is, if that's the summer soundtrack of yesteryear, if that's how things have always been done in the past, the good news is you can learn a new soundtrack. One that ends with you feeling clear and present and proud instead of fuzzy and regretful or, at the very least, dehydrated. Even if you've done tons of mindset work, reconditioned your habits, reframed your beliefs, these summer scripts, these echoes, they can still whisper, especially when the setting looks exactly the same, because you've got cue after cue after cue after cue all teeing up the notion of having a drink. So here's the reframe, okay? Here's the first one. Just because your brain is offering you an old cue, it doesn't mean that you have to perform the old play, okay? Just because your brain is offering up an old cue, it doesn't mean you have to perform the old play. You can write a new script, you can write a new play, and one that celebrates sunshine and connection and joy, just without the hangover. And that starts with noticing the association, this one that I'm pointing out, okay? It's just a script. Now, I find this really interesting. The second reason that sunshine is such a trigger is that sunlight boosts mood. And basically our brains get bloody greedy and they just want more. So I'll explain what's happening below the surface, right? When sunshine hits your skin and your eyes, your body naturally ramps up serotonin production, that feel-good transmitter that boosts your mood and improves the focus and helps regulate sleep. It's nature's way of saying, you know, here's a dose of vitality, go out and live a little, all right? So, it, you know, this natural serotonin feel-good transmitter ramps up. And when you feel that lift, that sort of inner sparkle on a sunny day, it is not imagined. It's biology. But here's where things get really, really interesting. Your brain, ever the opportunist, remembers that other thing that can also give you a quick feel-good hit, alcohol. And it cues up this thought, wouldn't this feel even better with a glass in hand? So the craving isn't necessarily about alcohol. It's about intensifying an already elevated mood. We run towards pleasure. We turn towards pleasure. That's what we do. That's one of the most instinctive sort of dynamics of the brain. So it's got it. It wants to sustain it. It wants more of it. It's layering reward on top of reward. But the problem is that second layer, it's kind of counterfeit because serotonin gently uplifts and it's a sustainable uplift, right? Alcohol disrupts. It might spike dopamine briefly, but the after effect is often the opposite. It's a dip, it's a slump, or a sense of flatness, or even regret. What your brain is really asking for is presence and connection and reward. So instead of alcohol, you could respond with things that truly add to the sunshine, not take away from it. You know, use the sunshine for a walk or getting together and having great food or dancing around in the garden like a lunatic or doing other things that make you feel entirely free and escapist, etc., etc., etc. So that buzz you're feeling, it's real. Those things lift your mood. The sun is already lifting your mood. You don't need to enhance it further. Just enjoy it. Just let it be enough. Let it be enough. Here's something that took me a while to really understand, and actually even longer to explain in a way that didn't accidentally make alcohol sound more attractive. But it's this, right? Alcohol doesn't just take the edge off bad moments. It interferes with the good ones. It trains your brain. This is the crux of it, right? It trains your brain to believe that joy on its own isn't enough. So that sunshine, that music, that delicious food, that laughter, all of it's somehow lacking unless it's paired with a chemical boost. And that's really shit. Because effectively what it's doing is it's raising the bar for joy. It's raising the level of the bar, the point at which you feel joy. So it teaches your dopamine system to expect more than what the moment is naturally providing. And of course, for the first, you know, drink or so, it can feel like more. But of course, what goes up must come down. So that artificial elevation, it comes at a cost, a crash, a numbness, you know, or quiet dissatisfaction that sort of follows you into the next day. So when you take alcohol out of the equation, something really surprising happens. At first, you might feel a bit, a bit flat, and, you know, that's a bit natural, but you're recalibrating and your brain is learning how to enjoy again on its own terms. And the bar resets, which is brilliant. It's amazing because joy stops being something that depends on what you have in your glass. And it starts being something you can access fully and freely and repeatedly in the moment itself, you know, like the sun on your skin and the music and, you know, your best friend over there and your kids and, you know, just being present. And you don't just then experience the moment, but you get to really relax into it exactly as you are. And it's exactly as it's meant to be, which is amazing because it's like having an access all areas pass. When it comes to joy, it's not contingent on having, you know, a glass in your hand. So yeah, our greedy, greedy brain just wants more. And in chasing more and experiencing more, it means that it kind of buggers up our sense of what's great anyway, and how we can experience joy if we just leave it to its own devices. Anyway, so that's the second thing. The third reason why the sun is so triggering is the holiday effect. Sunshine is completely evocative of holidays. You know, that feeling when the sun hits your face, or I don't know, you walk outside and the air smells like cut grass or barbecue smoke, and someone says, "Ooh, it's just like being on holiday, isn't it?" Well, yes. And that's not just a throwaway line. It's actually a full-on mental shift, you know, a mini psychological escape hatch. Sunshine evokes a sense of time out, of slowing down, of letting go, a loosening of the usual rules. Because, you know, this is what holidays historically include for us, right? Day drinking, yeah. A different set of rules, because we're away. You know, quite often, as soon as you walk into the airport itself, we're on holiday mode, different set of rules. Midday naps, later nights, fewer responsibilities. So when the UK gets a heat wave, in fact, sod that, even just a sunny Saturday, it can trigger that mindset. Suddenly, it's not just Saturday, it's San Miguel Saturday, you know, it's kind of Sol Saturday. It's like crack open the beers. It's a sunny afternoon. You're not just in your garden at that point. You're kind of in your head. You're in Ibiza mode or wherever it is you care to go on holiday. And it's really seductive because if alcohol was once part of your unwind routine, then this sunny holiday feeling becomes a really powerful cue. And it becomes, you know, this sun becomes a psychological green light to relax, to indulge, to forget what day it is, to open something cold. And here's the thing, of course, you know, our holidays are so sacred. And for many of us, you know, they're some of the only times we feel totally allowed to switch off and to feel spontaneous or even just a bit rebellious. So when sunshine comes along and mimics that energy, it makes perfect sense that your brain starts scanning for it. It's not a flaw. It's just a really simple formula. Sunshine and alcohol equals freedom. And part of why this is really hard, of course, is especially here in the UK, sunshine does feel rare. I've already said that. If we lived somewhere where sun was guaranteed, it wouldn't carry the same amount of urgency. But here, it's like a flash sale. It's like a flash sale on happiness. You know, you feel like you've got to grab it while you can, while it's here, and make it count and turn it into a moment. You know, that scarcity mindset ramps up the pressure. And for a lot of us, you know, the old way to enhance that moment was alcohol, because that's what we were taught. That's what was modeled. That's what's been practiced over and over again. But what if alcohol wasn't the permission slip? What if it was just the proxy? Because if what we're really craving is freedom, that can come from other places. It's actually really weird when you think about it that we think it's going to come from a glass, something in our glass. You know, freedom can come from other places. Movement, music, pleasure, presence, connection. I keep coming back to these things, but they are powerful, powerful drivers of happiness, scientifically proven drivers of happiness. So this is where the real rethink lies. This is the crux of it, guys. Not in denying yourself joy, but in reclaiming it, you know, fully, healthily, freely. Let the sunshine be what it is, warm and generous and alive, but let you be the source of joy, not the glass. Not the glass, okay? The fourth reason why sunshine is such a trigger is because it just brings us out in our droves. We go a bit loopy and we hit the great outdoors. We're out in plain sight. And this is where, you know, when you get lots and lots of people, you get really interesting dynamics like social comparison and FOMO. All right, so let's be honest. Oftentimes, this isn't even just about a drink. It's about not wanting to feel left out. It's about not wanting to feel other. It's not wanting to be the one who doesn't belong in that golden picture of bliss in the pub garden or at the barbecue. That pang you're feeling in that moment, that's FOMO, right? That is literally the fear of missing out. But it's deeper, actually, than it sounds, because we sort of throw that term around, banter that term around a bit. But FOMO is a form of social comparison, and our brains are wired for it. Oh my God, it takes it seriously. We're constantly scanning. Am I doing what everyone else is doing? Am I keeping up? Do I belong? Am I fitting in? Am I standing out? You know, and in our primal brains, belonging equals safety. Standing out is not safe. Puts us on the perimeter, puts us on the edges. So our primal brain is kind of looking for us to fit in. And when we do opt out of, say, drinking, especially when it's something that we're used to opt into, we can feel a bit untethered, like we've stepped outside of the tribe. You know, that pub garden, you know, that Instagram story, we want to be part of it. We want to be part of it, right? But here's the reframe that I want to kind of offer. Those are all just snapshots, okay? Those scenes, those moments in time, they're just snapshots. You don't know how those people are going to feel tomorrow. You don't actually know if they're genuinely enjoying themselves today, or they're just following the same old script. FOMO is a mind trick. It shows you what you're missing, but never what you're gaining, okay? I'm going to say that again. FOMO is a mind trick. It shows you what you're missing, never what you're gaining. Because it doesn't show you the sense of clarity that you have, or the fact that you're making a good decision for your well-being, or that you're, you know, going to go home with memories and wake up to a morning to feel proud of. And most importantly, you know, it doesn't show you that you have integrity. You can look at other scenes and go, oh, I wish I was part of that. But standing apart and doing things differently can give you a great sense of integrity. You know, when you're in alignment with the version of the person that you want to be, doing what you want to do, that's not missing out. Okay. So next time you feel that twinge, that sense of they're all having fun, just flip it. Flip it and think to yourself, they're performing. Same old script. I'm connecting. I'm choosing connection. Or they're drinking. Same old, same old, same old, same old. Nah. I'm doing something different. I'm learning. I'm growing. Because what if the real win, here's a thought, what if the real win wasn't in blending in? What if the real win, the true gift, is remaining true to yourself, in being who you want to become. Okay, so forget with the FOMO. Forget with the FOMO. Focus on what you have to gain, all right? So, right. Here's the bit that can be genuinely hard to get your head around. What are you really craving? What are you really craving in those moments? Because when you're sitting there in the garden with the sun warming your skin and your brain suddenly whispers, oh, this would be perfect with a cold beer, it can feel like there's no substitute. It can feel like there is literally no other replacement in the world, no alternative that could even remotely scratch that itch. And I've said this so many times on this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Pause for a second, okay? Because that craving is a signal. It is a need, but it's hardly ever, if ever, never going to be the need or a craving or a signal for alcohol, all right? It's not about the drink. It's about what the drink represents. We don't crave beer. We crave the feeling we think it will bring. Okay? It's like our brains have taken a shortcut and, you know, an old automatic one at that, that, you know, sunshine and drink equals happy or joy or belonging or rest or relief. But how about widening the lens? How about asking, what am I really craving in this moment? Because when you dig a little deeper, it's not actually a lager or a rosé. That's the perceived and, as I said, automated and quick solution. But maybe what you're really craving, and this is when I say, you know, the feeling that we think it'll bring, is relaxation without guilt, lightness and spontaneity, laughter without overthinking anything, just to enjoy the moment, you know, without numbing it. So that craving, it's real, it's deeply valid, but the drink, nah, that's just a solution. It's just the old script, it's the autopilot, it's the shortcut. So here's your invitation, right? If your craving is for freedom, for fun, and for a lightness of thought and a sort of, I don't know, just a sense of, yeah, ease, then what else could deliver that? That's where you got to look. What else could deliver that? Could it be music turned up to volume 10? Could it be, you know, a water fight? Just work with me here. Could it be a book? Could it be just turning your phone off, sticking it on airplane mode and digging into a great book? You know, could it be a abject kind of belly laugh with a really good friend? I guess what I'm saying is you're not saying no to pleasure. You're just saying yes to the real, true, genuine sources of pleasure. And of course this takes practice because, you know, When a craving is emotional, it's not solved by logic. It has to be kind of softened by curiosity and by trying new things and creating new associations and new rituals that feel true to you. I can't sit here and tell you what you're going to find pleasure in, you know, and what you're going to find that's going to answer those cravings in truer, more genuine ways. But I guess it's about that exploration. So that sun can still be your green light that says, you know, go feel good. You're not depriving yourself, but you're just expanding your options and you're rewriting the script. And the beautiful thing about that is you really get to explore and then you get to pick the ending. All right. So this is a toolkit episode, so I better give you a tool. And this is a quick 5-minute ones because these go down so well. You know, I know lots of people have kind of written to me in the past and said, you know, there's little quick 5-minute tools. They're brilliant, okay? And this one I'm particularly smug about because it's called the Sun Framework. Can you see what I've done there? It's the letters S, U, and N, and their prompts, they stand for things. And it's a little mindset tool. to help you sort of rethink the sunshine triggers and rewrite a new summer story. So S is for spot the story. Okay, so when a craving hits, pause and notice the mental loop that's playing out, and just take a moment to ask, what story is playing out here, and what did I used to believe sunshine meant? Okay, this is all about raising awareness without judgment. It's not, why am I like this? Why does the sun have this effect on me? It's, okay, this is the part of me that learns sunshine equals wine. This is the part of me that equates sunshine with beer. Okay, cool. I recognize that as a script that's playing out, as a Pavlovian response that is playing out, okay? So you're spotting the old programming. That's all you're doing. S, spot the story. The next one is U. We're going to update the meaning, okay? We're going to interrupt that script with a reframe. So you might say out loud, this craving isn't about alcohol, it's about joy. Or this craving isn't about rosé, it's actually about having a moment of relaxation. And you can turn this into a moment of power, okay? You can actually say, this is a moment of power, not failure. It doesn't matter that I'm having these thoughts. It's actually quite natural that I'm having these thoughts because the sun is shining and I've got all these echoes from the past. But I choose to turn it into a moment of power because I'm becoming someone who enjoys the sunshine without needing a drink. So this is about claiming agency and choosing a new, more empowering association. So you're, you know, if the S of spotting the story was about spotting the old programming, the U of updating the meaning is literally about updating the emotional software. That's exactly what you're doing here. You're giving it a new meaning. And then the N is nourish the need. Okay, you've got to answer your need. Because this is the whole thing. If you just kind of go, no, I mustn't think about alcohol, blah, 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 and you white knuckle your way through, that's no good because you just end up being or feeling deprived. You've got to nourish the need. So you've got to ask yourself, okay, what am I really, really craving right now? What is this signal? And then meet it. Meet that need directly. And as I've said, that can be whacking on some music, dancing around the decking, going for a walk, making use of the garden, the balcony, the park, you know, whatever you have available to you, getting outside and enjoying the sun. It can be about having a gorgeous alcohol-free drink, a fancy pants-sized coffee, you know, a delicious and photogenic mocktail, some form of kombucha with, you know, crushed ice, mint, tonic, whatever. Treat it like a moment, not a compromise. You know, another, maybe treat yourself to some time, you know, with someone who lifts you, someone who energizes you. Put a call in to that friend, you know. So I guess, you know, what we're doing is we're creating a new ritual, a sun response. That's exactly what it is. It's a sun response. You're not suppressing your craving. You're translating it into something deeper and truer. So you're nourishing what actually needs attention. And remember, this is really, really critical. You're not saying never again. Please, please, please don't think to yourself, you know, oh my God, you know, this is so hard. I got to keep doing this. You're not saying never again. You're not making this a heavy weight of haves and oughts and shoulds. It's a simple experiment. Please, you know, the next time the sun comes out, literally just pause. I am curious to see how it feels to respond to this sun in a different way, with intention, not on autopilot, with my own agency, not following the crowd, with my eyes wide open to the bullshit sold to me by the alcohol industry that's telling me I should be drinking right now, you know, not with that, but with a kind of sense of rebellious curiosity instead. And you know also that I'm a really big one for journaling, so I'm going to give you a journaling prompt here too that might help the journalers amongst you come to your new summer story, just take a moment this week to write down the prompt, my new summer story, and then write three things underneath it. What does sunshine represent to me? What old story plays out when the sun comes out? And what's my new story? What's the one I want to live? And for me, it sounds like, because these days are so rare and precious and few and far between, and only a fraction of the time that we're given every single year, these precious sunny days, because they are so precious, I want to soak it up. I want to soak up the sun, present, clear-headed, and fully alive. That's my sun story, okay? So look, this is not about gritting your teeth. I've said that through the summer. It's not about white-knuckling your way through sunny months. The sun framework, S, spot the story, U, update the meaning, N, nourish the need, gives you a way to respond and not react, Pavlovian style, when sunshine sparks that old script. And it gives you your joy back in terms of agency as to how you can achieve that in different ways. And it helps you move through the craving with real clarity. So look, make this your summer. Make this the summer, the one that's different and transformative in your relationship with alcohol. Because if you don't, if you have a summer very, very similar to all the summers you had before, that neural pathway gets ever deeper. But this summer, you can start a new one, okay? So yeah, the sun is a powerful tool. It's a powerful cue. But you're even more powerful, okay? You're even more powerful. The sun, very powerful. You, even more powerful. This is your summer to enjoy without hangovers, without regret, without a hazy, half-present version of yourself. This is your summer to be clear, to be here, and to find joy that doesn't dissolve by the morning. I'm going to pop this tool and the prompts into the free resources section of my website being thebeliefscoach.com. There's a link in the show notes. You'll find it on that website alongside all the other tools and free resources from the series. So please head there. And yeah, I hope you found this useful. Thank you for listening. And I will be back next week with another episode of The Big Drink Rethink. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find out more about The Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebeliefscoach.com. That's thebeliefs, B-E-L-I-E-F-S, coach.com, where you will see clear links to the show.